Do you remember your first job? Anyone here remember the first job? Yeah, learning the ropes, right? Being given training and really working hard to make sure that you're doing it correctly. You're a little nervous, right? You don't want to mess it up. And I remember when I was 16, my first job, that was, I think I earned the job, but this one I remember because it lasted a little longer. Not too much, but I was responsible for setting tables for the residents. And I still remember to this day, because I was so nervous and focused, that the fork goes on the left side, and the knife and the spoon go on the right-hand side. And it's the funniest thing to this day. When I set a table or if I'm eating, I just automatically do that because I'm still nervous about getting it right. I didn't work there long. That's why I think I was nervous. If I had stayed, I think, that I would have lost that nervousness. And since then, I've had many other jobs. In fact, I said no to God's calling, and I went into social work, you know, but God is persistent, so he kept calling. And even in working in the church, the longer I stayed in a church, the less nervous I became, the more comfortable I became. In fact, the last church I was in for 8 years, and I was sharing this with our Bible study class yesterday, is that it was so comfortable. I took for granted how things were done, and we had a good system. We loved each other, and we got used to it. The relationships were solid. And so when the call came to move, I tell you, it was hard. It was a little difficult to let go, but it reminded me that ultimately the church didn't belong to me. It belongs to God. And he gives us a season for his work. And sometimes the season is serving on a different committee. It could be letting go of the work you've been doing for so long and answering the call that God has given to you to serve somewhere else. Or it could be serving when you really haven't served in a church because you don't know how things work. Maybe you're new. But it means letting go of the comfortable, the old, the familiar, and allowing God to use you to produce fruits in a place which might be different than you would have thought, but produce fruit because it all belongs to him. And that's what I was reminded, that God is the owner. That's the reminder that God gives to all of us, that we are entrusted with gifts and talents and right where we are to serve for a moment, for a season, where he wants us. Nothing belongs to us, my friends. From our very breath, the gift of life and the talents and the skills we have to use and earn money and to make a living, that doesn't belong to us. Our family, our friends, our home, and even this church, it belongs to our Creator. He's the foundation, and you and I are just workers in his vineyard for a season. You know, you remember the parable we had the other week, a couple of weeks ago, about the workers. They were complaining that they didn't get the right amount of money for the work they did. Well, did it belong to them anyway? They had agreed that they would get paid. They weren't working. The owner gave them the privilege of working in his vineyard, and he chose what to pay. So my friends, today as we gather and we heard the gospel lesson, the message is that it all belongs to God. And we are workers in his field. And that's good news. Trust me, it's good news. It's because there is someone who's in charge. There is a just and fair and a loving God who has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. Have you ever struggled with trying to find your purpose? What am I supposed to do, God? Why am I here? Does this even make sense? What do you want me to do? I'm just tired because I don't know what I'm doing. All these questions, right? You might have had at one point or another. But the good news as we gather here this morning is that there is a God. There is one who loves you perfectly and created you for a unique plan. There will be no other you ever, ever. There's only one you. And so what we need to do is seek God's guidance as to what he wants us to do. Let us pray as we consider our work in the field of the owner. Holy God, come, speak to us. Help us to remember you are in charge and that you have rules for us. When we forget that and we start doing things our way, seeking our comfort, come, Holy Spirit, move us from our comfort zone, leaving behind what We might not want to leave to enter into your world, into your field, to produce fruit for you. All this we pray in Christ. Amen. Amen. So, tenants, right? We've been hearing that word in the parable. We heard it before and we know that means a tenant is one who has the occupation or temporary possession of lands or tenements belonging to another. We've all been tenants in one way or another. Even kids, even if you grew up in the house that your parents owned, guess what? You didn't own it. Your parents do. And so as you grow up, maybe you moved into an apartment. And as you lease it, well, you're definitely not an owner. And even when you buy that house, my friends, we tend to think that it belongs to us, but it doesn't. In fact, it's the generosity and love of the Creator, of our parents, that gives us, gifts us the place we live and the breath that we have, the day that we have. You know, we've been reading about the kingdom of God and trying to understand what it's like. And it's so hard to put it into understanding and words that we will fully get, and we won't get it. But I think it's important to open our minds and our spirits to understand what Jesus is saying. Because the words he says, we've heard them before, and so the story might be a familiar one. But my friends, the Holy Spirit is always speaking to us to apply the reading that we heard today. So open your mind to understanding what it means to be a tenant. Today we heard a similar comparison of the kingdom of God about the landowner, right? A couple of weeks was the landowner. Today we heard about a landowner who planted a vineyard. So he's got all this crop. He fenced it, meaning he had rules, right? He put a border around it. He dug a wine press and he put up a watchtower. So he set everything in place that needed to be in place. And then he turned it over to the farmlands and he went off on a trip. And when it was time to harvest the grapes, he sent his servants back to collect the profits. So what does that mean? What does that story have anything to do with us? Well, my friends, what I said is that the owner, he did everything that was necessary. Genesis 1, verses 27 to 28, here's what we read. God created human beings. He created them in his image, reflecting God's nature. He created them male and female, and God blessed them and said, prosper, reproduce, fill the earth, take charge, have stewardship. That means care for what I've given you. Be responsible for the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, for every living thing that moves on the face of the earth. Take care of it. Produce fruit. Do it to honor me. So that was the charge. But my friends, as we look around, what's going on? People are trying to grab as much for themselves, right? And we're a part of it. I mean, you know, we want to make sure we have that house in our name. Some of us have more than one houses. We have more than one car. We have more than one outfit, more than one shoe. Shoe is my weakness. I'm sorry. I laugh because, you know, I have this collection. But I'm working on it, okay? I've stopped. We all have things that we accumulate. But what did God tell us? Have stewardship. And in fact, if you read the Bible, it also says, if you have two coats, give one to the one who needs it, right? Don't accumulate. God is very clear. Take charge. Be responsible. Be good stewards of what I've given you. Now back to the story. I wanted to just set the stage about what this means for us. So we've been given, right, like those tenants, responsibility, work to do. So let's put it in today's words. Imagine this. You just graduated from college. You're looking for a job. And someone gives you a job. Somehow they like you and they give you a nice one with a good salary. They even let you stay in their home. But there's the expectation that you're going to do your part, right? That you're going to pay monthly rent. They're going to collect it once they get back, they said. But then a year goes by. 2 years go by, 3 years go by, 4 and 5, and the owner doesn't come back. So this young person starts acting like the house belongs to them because they've been here so long. What are they? There's a word, right? Squatter? Owner's rights? I don't know. So the money they had been putting aside for rent, because they were nervous, The first job, remember what I was talking about? When we're responsible for something, we take it seriously. But as we become comfortable with it, it loses its importance. And so for this young person, they lost their appreciation, their reverence for the gift that had been given to them. Maybe they wanted to buy that big TV, I don't know, or shoes, I don't know. Maybe they just wanted to go out more, enjoy life. Maybe they could even justify it by saying, I want to pay for education, for good stuff, for important stuff, but it doesn't matter. Because soon they stopped paying the rent and just expected the owner to ignore it and let them do what they wanted. So the owner, after however much time, starts sending people to collect his money. Maybe the person, the college kid, who's not a college kid anymore, who's mature, might make excuses saying, oh, they don't have it, but they'll get it to them. Or they just might ignore this request and live the way they want. And finally, the owner sends the son. And not only does the college kid, not the college kid anymore, but this person ignore them, but they work to undermine them and get rid of them to the point of killing them so that if something were to happen to the son, the owner doesn't need the house. After all, the owner's away. They don't need the house. This house then will belong to them. That tenant treated like his, like the child of the owner, acted like it belonged to them. And that is the illustration that Jesus gives to the chief priests and scribes about how they're acting, and they didn't like it. But my friends, this illustration is true for you and me. It's certainly true for me. And as I shared the story about how comfortable I was in the church that I was in, I was convicted that it was about me instead of doing God's work. Not that there wasn't good work being done, not that we weren't having a great relationship, but maybe God wanted to use me somewhere else. And I wonder for each one of us, if we took the time to listen to God and to understand the work that he wants us to do for this season, would there be change in how we're living? Would there be a different way in how we look at the gifts and the talents we have and the work that we have in front of us? Now, granted, I went a little extreme in talking about killing the son in this scenario of the college kid, but I do think we can understand the first part about how the tenant began to think that it was their house. Think back to your experience, you or someone else, when you saw someone in a particular job that they had for a long time, that maybe they had seniority, right? And they had authority and power, and they abused it by doing what they want. Have you ever experienced people who have abused their authority? Because they're comfortable with it and they're not nervous anymore. You've heard the saying that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. You and I need to be very careful that we don't fall into that line because it has many different ways of manifesting. You know, the rules that we read this morning, the kids read, you're right, Marlena, it was a different version that I gave to the kids, but the kids' version talked about don't put other things before me. That's don't have other gods before me. Anytime we put our comfort, our way of doing things before God, and we had this talk in our Bible study today too, yesterday too. Anytime we put even our family, our kids, anything above God, that becomes a form of idol worship. That's hard for us, and it hurts us, right? It hurts us because we love our kids, and what? We're not supposed to love our kids anymore? I love my kid, and I would give my life for him, but it means that I can't put him above God. There are rules, my friends. God has to be first. God cannot be second, because by the very definition of the word God, it is one who is above all, and God would not have a second place, because then he wouldn't be God. So the question for us, each one of us today is, do we understand this amazing love that God has given to each one of us to be not just a tenant, but a child of God, made in his image, given gifts and talents, made to reflect him? You and I are the only creation that reflects the image of God. Do you understand what that means? Animals are not reflecting the image of God. You and I have that wonderful and awesome privilege of making choices. And, you know, if God didn't love us, if we weren't his children, he would have made us puppets and we would do what he wanted when he wanted. Sometimes I wish that would be a better world. But, you know, God loves us. And he gives us the choice. So do not take that for granted. Understand what it means to be made in the image of God and be his child and be an heir of the kingdom. And if you're an heir, if you and I are heirs of the kingdom, we cannot act like the boss or the God of our lives. We can't. It has to be God or nothing. There is no second place. So, my friends, as we consider the gift that God has given to us today of our time, of our talents, I pray that we would understand that it belongs to God. I pray that we would ask him and pray, God, what am I putting above you? What do I need to let go? What am I holding on to that you are moving me to somewhere else? St. Augustine said it best. He said, God, you have made us for yourself. Oh, Lord, our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Is your heart restless? Are you trying to find your purpose and meaning? Are you trying to fill that need inside with shoes? I'm talking to myself. I'm not, but just give you an example. Are we trying to fill that need with things or comfort, material things, worldly success? With our children? Are we trying to feed? Because it's not going to work. My friends, the good news today is God owns everything. And he's inviting you and I to be a part of that work, to be part of his kingdom, and to be heirs in the kingdom of God. Let us take that seriously. And so as we consider this message, hear what Jesus says. Jesus reminds us over and over in the scriptures that he's going to come again, and there will be a time when he's going to ask us about this fruit. And he warns us that if we don't produce fruit, the kingdom of God will be taken away from us and given to a people that produce its fruits. So my friends, let us seek what God wants us to do and let go of the comfort and our way of doing things and seek God's way. Amen.